We're on the road with Mickey. We're gonna have some fun. Regardless of the rain or sun, our trip has just begun. So buckle up, let's go. We're about to start the show. And maybe if you like us, you'll see where else we'll go.
Hey everyone, I'm Mike. And she's Sophie.
And she's Brenda.
Hi everyone.
And Grogu says, rock the house, people. My five items are macarons and macaroons and macarons and macaroons and
frogs.
Frog legs, yes. He's like, okay, I'm done. See you later. Peace out. Anyway, we are on the road with Mickey. This is episode? 211, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Pretty much. 211 for March 18th, 2024. And our featured topic is our top five festival foods. So we're looking at all the festivals across the whole year at Epcot and coming up with five foods that we really like. Or if you're Mike, you come up with things that you want to try and call them things that you really like. So anyway, we'll get into that a little bit later.
You come up with things you can't pronounce, so you replace them with other things you can pronounce.
There you go. But before we get into all that nonsense, we are going to have some cheddar for the big cheese, and it is my week to start us off.
All right.
So Disney released a new ticket offer for Walt Disney World on Tuesday, March 12th. They have a four-day, four-part magic ticket that starts at, and the key word is starts at, $99 per day plus tax, or a three-day, three-part ticket that starts at $89 per day plus tax. And they also have a Florida resident Discover Disney ticket. Say that fast. For a 3 or 4 day ticket starting at $219 per ticket plus tax. So if you need park tickets and you're not staying on site or anything like that, then please reach out to Brenda at pixievacations.com or Mike at pixievacations.com, and we'd be happy to talk to you about it and see what's going on and what we're looking at for pricing for you. So just let us know.
All right, then. Well, I guess that means it's my turn. And this one isn't so much an announcement. Well, I mean, it is. It's a PSA. It's not quite cheddar, but it's still good for you. So I'm going to say anyway, spring is almost upon us, people, which means it's almost sundress season. And here in North Carolina, the weather has been quite spring-like for a while now, which means in Florida, it's going to be even hotter because Florida's closer to the equator. That means the temperatures are warmer. So one important thing to remember when you are at the parks is to make sure that you stay hydrated. Drink plenty of water. Not doing so will lead to dehydration, obviously, exhaustion, and even worse. And get this, the water at Disney is free. So if you don't like the fountain water, you can easily just go into any of the quick service restaurants and ask for a cup with some ice and some water in it. It will do you a world of good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Florida water doesn't taste so great. So sometimes you have to carry some little packets of flavoring with you. But yeah. It's still free if you get it from the kiosk or quick service. And they just recently also added the little water refill stations to the app so you can see them on the little map thing. So that's great for people, too, that carry a bottle. Yeah.
Me, personally, I'm a little bit weird. I actually like the taste of Florida water.
Well, that's good. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about doing anything to doctor it up.
Yep.
Well, for those of us that love to make our dining reservations and make them for other people, Disney is going to be releasing an update that will allow us to search for dining availability across multiple days. Yay! We don't know when this is going to roll out, but it's going to be huge. I think it's going to be very, very soon, and it's going to make it so much easier for us. So if you're someone who makes dining reservations and say you want to go to Cinderella's Royal Table on Tuesday at 5, when you search for Cinderella's Royal Table on that day, instead of having to search five and then going back and trying to find another time, it's just going to show you all the times that are available for several days that week, which is going to be amazing.
Yeah. And in fact, when I typed that in, it said coming soon. And then when I was looking at research for our show today, I went in there and I saw that it is there, and it said check available dates. So it's out there now.
Great.
That's really cool, because that is a game changer.
Yes, it is. It is going to make it so much easier.
Yeah. Well, that is our cheddar from the Big Cheese. And now it is time to get into our feature topic, our top five festival foods. So on the show notes, I have them listed from 5 to 1. I don't know that I have mine in any specific ranking of favorite to non-favorite. And, you know, to be honest, I have 5 things and 4 of them are things I've never had before.
Yeah.
And one is one that I remember from days gone by and I really, really loved it. So that one, I guess, might be my favorite, but I don't know. Anyway, so I will start us off, and I am going to talk about the thing that I remember from previous times. And that is, Sophie will remember this very fondly as well.
Yeah.
Brenda may not, because if I remember correctly, this was an item we got when they reopened and they kind of extended the flower garden and the food and wine and kind of combined them together.
Yeah.
And
it's easier to not move the booths out and move other booths in and all that. Yeah. They just kind of.
Yeah. And
it was a good idea.
Yeah. And this was after COVID. So it was like they had a whole bunch of time to figure that out. But the thing that I'm thinking about is that creamsicle shake.
Oh my God, that sounds good.
It was so good, Brenda. And that was the one in the orange. In the orange bird cup, right?
In the orange bird cup, yep.
Oh,
it was at the Sunshine Citrus kiosk thing, and it had the orange bird as its mascot, and we got it, and it was basically an orange creamsicle that was a little bit melted down, but it tasted delicious, and they served it to us in an orange bird sipper, and it was so cute and it was so yummy as well.
Oh, it was so good, Brenda.
It's really
It sounds so
golly,
good. That's just right up my alley. Golly. Oh,
so
it sounds good.
That's on my list, and that is a memory that, as you can see, brings a smile to my face.
Yeah.
Man, that sounds so good.
All right, then. Well, I guess it's my turn now.
Yes.
And I actually do have a ranking for these.
Okay.
So I'm going from number 5 to number 1. And my number 5 actually takes us to Canada. This is something that I did not have until last year, because I was always just a picky little princess. And so I almost never actually started trying these food and wine festival things or flower and garden festival things until I was an adult, really. So the thing that I'm talking about, and I remember this fondly because my parents were always trying to get me to try it, and I'm like, nope, not doing it. I'm talking about the Canadian cheddar and bacon soup with a pretzel roll.
So good.
Yeah, I tried it. I didn't try it at the food and wine, but I tried it when we were actually eating in Le Cellier. And it was really good. It was really salty, but it was really, really good. And the pretzel rolls, the pretzel rolls. I love me any type of bread, really. So the pretzel rolls are right up my alley.
Yum. That is a great soup. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good. Yum. Boy, y'all already hit it out of the park with the first two.
Yeah, I'm a foodie.
Well, I don't have any order to mine. So I'm just going to go with the first one. It is the teriyaki chicken bun, steamed bun filled with vegetables and what?
I already
know.
Oh,
no.
Was that on your list, Daddy?
It's not on my list. I saw it on Sophie's list.
It's okay.
Sophie and I are so much alike, and there's so few foods that I can actually eat all the ingredients in that my list is pretty short. I mean,
it's okay. I understand.
But Sophie and I do have a lot in common when it comes to what foods we like.
Well, you know what's crazy? Is I was looking through all of the outdoor kitchen locations for this year's Flower and Garden, because we're going to be there next month and we're going to eat at some of these.
Yeah.
And I was looking and I'm like, dang, you know what? I saw them cooking bao buns on Guy's Grocery Games. And I'm like, that looks so good. And I want to try one. And now I can't find them. And
you'll find them. They're over in Japan. You'll find it.
Okay.
And they they also have a duck one in China.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think maybe 2 years ago that Sophie actually referred me to try the bao bun because she had enjoyed it, and I checked the ingredients and I could have it, and then I fell in love with it too.
Yeah, I remember. It was so good.
It is so good.
Like,
well,
it was like savory chicken with the sweet teriyaki sauce and all wrapped up in a little dumpling bun. It was really good.
And it's so cute, too.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And I'm thinking, you know, that one kind of transcends all of our lists.
Yeah.
It's not on my list, but...
I have it as my number one.
I didn't have my list in any order, just stuff I could eat, basically.
But that's awesome. That's so funny.
I'm sorry, Sophie.
It's fine. It's so high on my list and it's so low on your list. It'll be a while before we come back to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, it is delicious for anyone listening. You can tell because we all
are thinking about it. Mike's drooling right now.
And if you want to know the truth, I had the cheddar and bacon soup on my list too. So now I'm scrambling to fill it in with one of my alternates. We're just very similar.
Yeah. We don't and need
that's,
to.
That's a good thing.
We can have duplicates. It's okay.
Yeah, there's plenty of food though. I think I can, hopefully I can pronounce something else that I can fill in.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the early bloom. Okay. I was getting confused. I am looking at, like I said, I'm looking at the outdoor kitchen locations for this year's Flower Garden Festival, and one of the ones that I really want to try out is over at the Epcot Farmers Feast, which is near Test Track, and it is presented by Chevrolet. Go figure. But anyway, I am looking at the grilled street corn on the cob with savory garlic spread and plant-based cheese.
Ooh, that sounds good. What's the plant-based cheese made from? Is that made from nutritional yeast?
I don't know. It doesn't say, but they also have the garden graze, which is the thing where you go and you try the different things, and then you get something at the end as a treat for doing it. But that grilled street corn on the cob sounds good, and I've never really been one to try street corn like that, but I want to try it. So I love corn on the cob. So
yeah.
So that's number two on my list.
I think I remember getting some street corn from, I think it was Mexico, and it had a lot of seasonings on it.
Uh-huh.
So it was a little bit spicy, but the corn was sweet enough that it was good.
They offset each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that savory garlic spread one sounds really good, though.
Yum.
All right. Well, I guess it's my turn. Mm-hmm. And This one is from Germany, and I feel like it's a really safe option, and that's why it's lower on my list than some of the other ones are, because I'm thinking totally the Food and Wine Festival. I'm not even thinking about the Flower and Garden Festival, though maybe I should be, but the Food and Wine Festival is where it's at for me, and for me, that festival is now, because I was so picky when I was younger, the Food and Wine Festival is now about trying new things. Things I've never tried before, but that maybe I ought to try. Yeah. But this one is a really safe option because I love everything that's in it. And I'm talking about the apple strudel with vanilla sauce from Germany. Like, that is probably the closest thing I'll find to an apple pie in Epcot at the Food and Wine Festival. And that's fine because I absolutely love apple pie. It is it's one of my favorite things. And so, yeah, you just don't try to fix what isn't broken.
That's if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Exactly.
That's right.
So an apple strudel with vanilla sauce for me sounds delicious.
Yeah, it does to me too, Sophie.
It does sound great.
And actually, three of my five things on my list are desserts. So,
yeah, I can see another one of ours is the same, but I'm not going to say that one. I'm going to say this is in France. It's the creme brulee à Grand Marnier. So it's creme brulee with Grand Marnier, and this is from the Food and Wine Festival a few years ago, and it is so good. So good. Yum.
Well, that was a close one because I also
It was close. One is exactly the same. Now, your number two is exactly the same as what one of mine was, so I'm not going to say that. I'll find something else.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can find something else, Aunt Brenda. And I hate that I'm taking all of hers.
What's funny is Brenda was trying to pronounce it before we came on air, and I'm like,
Well, I could try to use one of those that I can't pronounce, and that I could go with that. I'll do that.
No, it's fine. I'm going to go find a different one. Daddy, cover me.
Well.
Oh, please don't. We're the same because God made us like that.
No, it's fine. I already found an alternative for me. You take that one.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to keep rolling with it.
Keep rolling.
Number three is different. And it is similar at the same time. Back to the 2020, we were over in the Canada Pavilion area, and they had a steak.
Oh my gosh.
That was a snack, and it was so awesome. And it had mushrooms and forth. Sophie didn't want it, and it was enough that Cindy and I split it and we could share it.
The filet mignon.
Yeah, and this is not filet. It is similar, though. It's also in Canada, if I remember correctly. Let me just confirm that. I don't know why it wouldn't be and it is in Canada Pavilion. It's called at the Northern Bloom, which is in the Canada Pavilion, and it is beef tenderloin tips, mushroom bordelaise sauce, and whipped potatoes with garden veggies. And I'm like, first of all, that sounds like quite a substantial amount of food for a little snack item. So I'm thinking that might be something that Cindy and I could split again, or maybe we both get it. I don't know. But that sounds really yummy to me. So,
well, and I saw what you originally got in my little book here. It's Le Cellier Wild Mushroom Beef Filet Mignon with Truffle Butter Sauce. Is that what you had?
I think it was, Yeah.
Good steak.
And this sounds really close to it, you know?
Yeah. Yum.
That making me hungry. Really, really good. Well, yeah, it's food. It's a food episode, Aunt Brenda. Of course we're going to be hungry when we're done.
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, Aunt Brenda, already, she already talked about her creme brulee, and this one is mine. They're slightly different. They both come from France, but mine is the creme brulee vanille à la confiture de fraise.
Very good.
Which basically means vanilla creme brulee with strawberry jam.
Very good.
Okay. Yeah. And so this one I found in last year's menu. I think that's why they're slightly different. Hers was from a few years ago. Mine was from last year. And so they changed the recipe ever so slightly during that time, which is sad, but at least it's still pretty much the same. The reason I marked this one above the safe option of an apple strudel is, one, I've never had creme brulee before, but it sounds delicious, and two, I'm very picky when it comes to strawberries. To me, strawberries can either be just right or they can be far too tart for me. So this one is sort of a gamble. But yeah. It still sounds delicious. I really think that the warm creme brulee with the refreshing strawberries would be really, really good. And so I would like to try it. I've never actually had it before, but I've had a lot of France's foods, especially back in the boulangerie pâtisserie back there in the back. And I love it so much. So I think it would be a great thing to try.
So good.
And you know what? I think that would be a really good thing to try. But the thing that's funny to me is the strawberry with a creme brulee just doesn't sound like something that would work to me. So
I think it would.
I don't know. That's just me, though.
Well, it's also strawberry jam.
Yeah, but I'm not a huge creme brulee fan anyway. So I'm just curious to see how that tastes. And what I'm reminding myself is that, Sophie, when we try all these things, we need to take pictures so we can, like,
we do
share ones, because there's so much that I'm like looking for my pictures. I'm like, I don't know where that one was. I don't know where that one was. Yeah. Now I got to have like all these pictures and put them in a folder so I know where they are.
Well, and when you have the creme brulee, you have to video it close to it so you can hear that crunch when you break through that sugary top coating that's hard. Ooh. Like candy. And that's my youngest son Joshua's favorite dessert is creme brulee, and he has made them before with the little torch and everything, doing the sugar. Oh my gosh, they're good. And they're all good. I don't think we had maple creme brulee when we went up to Vermont. You know, so good. I think they used to have a maple creme brulee at Le Cellier, actually.
Yeah. They might have, because Canada is like an offshoot of France.
Yeah.
Sort of.
They're so good.
French culture, at least.
Yum.
They have, this is not the same thing, not even close, but one of the things they have in the Canada Pavilion at the Northern Bloom is the chocolate maple whiskey cake.
Mmm.
And that's not creme brulee, and it's not hard or anything like that, but that might be worth trying out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So who's next? This is Brenda's turn.
It is my turn, but it's also Sophie's, because Sophie gave up this one on her list for me because it was on my list. So this is for both of us. Warm chocolate pudding cake with Irish cream liqueur custard.
That was from Ireland. Don't worry. I already found something better.
Sophie, will you type that one in for me?
It's all right. I got it. One second. I also have the menu from last year pulled up, so that's why I know all these things.
Yeah, this was good. In my 2021 food and wine, so they've been doing this warm chocolate pudding cake for a while.
Yep.
Well, hopefully it's there this year.
Yeah.
I don't see why it wouldn't be if it sold very well.
Really?
Yeah.
Gotta be a staple.
Like, they've had the cheddar and bacon soup for at least a decade, because I was like 10 years younger when Daddy first tried the stuff from Canada. And it was there on the menu.
Fan favorite, I think.
Yeah, and the filet that Daddy was talking about with the mushrooms and stuff, that's also been there. So I see no reason why they won't have this.
Really?
If it sells as well as those two do.
Yeah.
All right, there we go.
Thank you.
All right.
Mike, you're up.
My turn. I am down to two, but I have a couple that I think would be worth mentioning to you two. I'll save those for later. But this one is breakfast.
Oh, wow.
Is it a waffle?
No, it is not a waffle.
Oh.
Listen to this. Oh, my gosh.
It's Hope like, you can say it.
I can say it. I just want to read it right from the menu, though. And so I'm being slow. It's at Brunch Cot, which is also near Test Track.
Ooh.
And so it's next door to the Farmer's Feast. How's this sound? Fried cinnamon roll bites with cream cheese frosting and candied bacon.
Oh,
that sounds good.
Oh, Daddy, you know me so well.
Doesn't that sound good?
Yes.
I feel like that place used to be called the Donut Box, because that sounds a lot like something I got a while back. It was cinnamon apple donut bites. And they were so good. They were only there for a year, though, and so I've not been able to find them ever since.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's okay, though.
Well, maybe they'll be back this year.
Probably not, but thank you.
It could happen.
It could. All right, then I suppose it's my turn now.
Yes.
And this one is going back to a safe one, because I had originally had the warm chocolate pudding cake as well. But this one is also chocolatey, so I think it works just fine. And that is the Belgian waffle with warm chocolate ganache from Belgium, obviously. I love chocolate. I love chocolate ganache. I actually make it regularly at home, because all it is chocolate and some heavy cream melted together until it's combined. And then that stuff, oh, it's so good. It is so, so good. It's rich. It's creamy. I will put it in cakes. I'll put it in my hot chocolate to give it a little more creaminess to it. It's just so good. So the idea of putting that on one of my favorite breakfast items, which is a Belgian waffle, just seems like the ultimate move for me. And so I really, really, really want to make it at home. I really want to try it at Epcot. I think it would be such a good idea.
Yeah.
Great. Sounds yummy.
All right, then. Well, that's my number two.
Well, my number two, I'm not going to try to say it. It's, you can find it at Fleur de Lis in France. And I'm just going to say the American words, and it is the caramelized beignet filled with vanilla cream and glazed with caramel fleur de sel.
Hang on, I'm going to go find it.
It's a lot of French words, and no, you don't want to be making fun of Aunt Brenda today, do you?
No, but I'm also really good at French ever since I've been learning it.
Well, hopefully it's on the list, because this is on my 2021 Flower and Garden memory.
Okay. So, the closest thing I have is the beignet au trois fromage, the warm beignet filled with three cheese blends. So, no, I don't have that on my list.
No, it's beignet caramelise fleur creme vanilla glace au caramel fleur de sel. So,
I'll find it.
There you go.
And it is yummy. And I mean, that, a beignet by itself is yummy, but a beignet all fancied up is double
certainly.
Yummy.
Certainly.
And that concludes our Learning with Brenda language segment for today.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute, we still segment. Have number one to do.
New segment we're going to do on the show, Learning with Brenda, the language segment.
You're what'll welcome, be even funnier
is when she says it and then she's like, okay, Mike, repeat it back to me. And I'll be like, I don't know what you just said, but it sounds good.
Well, let's just say my last one, when we get to it, it's going to be a lot easier.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy.
Okay. I'll find it. Don't worry.
Next. Is it my turn?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
You find it, Sophie.
Yes, so, I'll try to find it, too.
This last one, I think, is the only one on my list that Brenda can't have, and I think it's because of the shellfish.
Well, probably. Yes.
But this one is in the Florida Fresh booth, which is near Disney Traders. Mm. It is the grilled warm lobster tail with key lime butter.
Yum.
Sounds good. Butch would like it.
Oh, he would love
can't
it.
Can't eat the lobster, right, Brenda? Because of shellfish, right?
But he would love it.
And I'm going to try it, and I'm going to let you know how it is.
Yum. So,
and I have two, one for each of you, that I will say after we're done that I think you guys would enjoy.
Oh, great.
Okay.
I bet you're right. So, I put that one in the show notes. I put that one in the text, Sophie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, then. Well, I suppose it's my turn now. Uh-huh. Obviously, we've known about this one since the very beginning. But what can I say? I just love it so, so much. And honestly, if I'm being honest, I could have put an alternative here. But I feel like that would be doing this one a disservice because this is the one I've actually had. I could go for the crispy duck bao bun in China, but I feel like it will never compare to the teriyaki chicken bao bun in Japan. That bao bun has to be the first thing I remember eating as an adult at the Food and Wine Festival. It's the first thing I remember buying for myself. And it was a really good choice back then, and it's a really good choice now, because that bao bun was the most delicious thing I've had since. Like, yes, the Food and Wine Festival has some amazingly delicious food, but I will always keep on coming back to my teriyaki bao bun because it's just so good. And you know what? If I could find the recipe for it, I'm sure I have it in one of my non-official Disney cookbooks. But I would love to try and make it at home just so I could have it again throughout the year without needing to go all the way to Florida for it.
Yeah, I'll check my festival cookbooks for you too, Sophie. And if I find it, I'll send it to you.
Please. Thank you.
That now, is delicious. Delicious.
And I want to try it.
You've never had it?
Never had it.
So good.
What I'm seeing though for the flower and garden is not the teriyaki chicken bao bun. I'm seeing a similar item.
What are you seeing?
It's in Hanami in Japan. It is a steam bun filled with vegetables and plant-based soy meat. And I don't know that it's going to be a teriyaki chicken bun.
No, they made it vegan, it sounds like.
It sounds like something similar. And I would still be interested in trying it.
Let me go see what China has for the Flower and Garden
Festival.
Yeah,
I'm hoping they're going to at least do the duck one.
China does not have the bao bun at the Lotus House anyway. They have pan-fried vegetable dumplings, which I think would be good.
Yeah, you know what? I think they're making it vegan because of the Flower and Garden Festival, because that's a lot of plants.
Yeah. So, like I said,
makes sense.
Food and Wine may come back with the chicken teriyaki.
please.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and may very well. And but for Flower and Garden, I'm not seeing it for this year anyway. But anyway, so
I hope they come back with it.
I hope so too. But that I kind of interrupted. So
no, Brenda, no, it's
time
right.
for your number one. What's your number?
My number one, and not in any special order, is from McAneats. And it is the cowboy macaroni and cheese with smoked pork belly, brisket burnt ends, pickled peppers, and onion straws. Yum.
Wow.
That sounds savory. Good, except for that pickled peppers part.
Yeah, you could get them to leave off the Peter Piper pickled peppers, though, probably.
Probably.
And then it would be delicious. But it sounds delicious. I love macaroni and cheese.
Say the name again.
It's cowboy macaroni and cheese. I just put it up. Cowboy macaroni and cheese with smoked pork belly, brisket burnt ends, pickled peppers, and onion straws. You know that macaroni and cheese cone they had there with the, it was the pastry cone with the macaroni and cheese. Oh my gosh, that was so good. I don't know if they still have the macaroni and cheese cones, but that was such a great dish.
So
I don't know. I know this one sounds great. Gotta have brisket. No sauce. Can't have sauce. Got tomatoes in it.
All right.
Well, I have two items that I think you guys would enjoy. One is for Brenda. And that is at the Primavera Kitchen in Italy. They have, and it says new, so it might be new just this year, but they have a quattro formaggi pasta.
Oh my god.
It's panetti pasta and four cheese sauce.
Oh my gosh, that is right
that
up
might
my
be
alley.
Right up Sophie's alley too, because she loves like a chicken Alfredo.
Oh my goodness, yum. That sounds so good.
It does sound so good. And then I'll have a cannoli with it at the end. One of those special cannolis over there at the booth.
Chocolate cannoli, chocolate covered cannoli shell with peanut butter ricotta filling.
Oh darn. Can't have peanut butter.
Oh,
and ricotta doesn't sound all that good to me.
Oh,
Daddy.
I love regular cannoli, so that'll be good.
Yeah.
God, that sounds so yummy.
I thought that would be right up Brenda's alley, and probably Sophie's too.
Ricotta is.
So they also have Sophie in Germany at the farmer's market. It's called Bauernmarkt. They have a warm cheese strudel with mixed berries.
Ooh, that sounds good.
You know, I saw something about a chocolate whiskey cake or something, and that sounds good.
Yeah,
I
Dad mentioned that earlier.
I mentioned that. And then the other thing that I think would be neat there is the toasted pretzel bread topped with black forest ham and melted Gruyere cheese.
Ooh. That sounds good.
But there's one other thing that I think I would like to try, and that is in the American Adventure Pavilion at Magnolia Terrace. There is spicy chicken gumbo with andouille sausage and long grain and wild rice. And I think that would be something I would like to try.
My husband would be right there with you trying the gumbo.
Yeah.
He loves gumbo.
I'm not a huge gumbo fan. I love jambalaya, though.
Yeah, he loves jambalaya, too. All the spicy Cajun stuff.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, those were some things that I thought, especially that quattro formaggio.
Oh,
I'm
God,
like,
that
that's like
good.
Pizza, but on pasta.
Exactly. Oh, sounds yummy.
So.
I'll have to try it.
Yeah. Or we could try it for you and tell you how good it is.
You can do that too.
Anyway, so that's our list, people. So what is on your list? Do you have some favorites that you go and get every year at the Flower and Garden or the Food and Wine or Festival of the Holidays or the, what is it, Festival of the Arts? Or do you just not, do you just, what do you do? So let us know. We kind of want to know if you have a list.
Yeah.
And that'll be fun discussion group. So just let us know in the group and I will post a lead-in question about it. But that is our feature topic. So it is time for This Day in Disney History with Sophie. So go ahead, Soph.
All right, then. Well, this day in Disney history, March 18th, a Mr. Keppel Disney marries a Miss Mary Richardson. The following year, they will have a child named Elias. Guess what his relationship is to our Disney?
I wonder.
I wonder.
Well, geez, you're not humoring me at all. Elias is the future father of Walt Disney.
Yes.
Yes.
Walter Elias Disney.
And what year did they get married, Sophie?
1858.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
That's amazing.
That is
Keppel
amazing.
Is an interesting name. I wonder if that was someone's last name and they gave it to him as a first name, Keppel Disney.
Maybe.
Just curious to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But his middle name was Elias.
Oh, well, there you
so
go.
So Elias is a family name.
For sure. Yeah, that's neat. Very neat, Sophie. You can tell that your dad is prepping for Soph, because he's disappeared into thin air over there.
You know what I realized?
What?
I had gotten a character. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh no!
But I have one now.
Jeez. Okay. Well, that's good.
Sometimes you just open the book and there it is.
There you go.
All right.
So, this character is another character's older sister.
Elsa.
No.
Okay.
This is funny how this kind of plays together, though. It's not anything Frozen related. After the death of their parents, this character became another character's legal guardian.
Nani.
Exactly.
Yay! Very good, Sophie!
Nani. This
I love Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
This character uses the name... This character, your aunt, uses the name.
Mm-hmm. My Aunt Robin, her... So she has three kids, and they all have kids now, so she's a grandmother, and her name with them, the way I call my grandmother Mima, her grandchildren call her Nani.
Sweet. Yeah.
So.
But no, Nani, I love Lilo and Stitch so much.
Yeah, but it's kind of crazy that, yeah, so Nani is Lilo's older sister. They lose their parents, just like
every
Elsa
other Disney family.
Yeah.
Sorry. Not yeah. every other, but, you know, one or the other in everything.
Yeah. So what's her boyfriend's name? Is that her boyfriend?
He wants to be.
Yeah, he's her boyfriend. Hang on.
Don't Google it.
I'm not Googling it. I want to say it's David?
Yeah, it is David.
Yeah, I think it is David.
Did you Google Yay. It?
No, I didn't. Very my good. Hands were literally under my legs.
Very good.
Nice. Good job, Sophie. I knew you hadn't Googled it.
I think Grogu whispered it in her ear. Didn't you hear him?
Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
What's the social worker's name?
Bubbles.
Oh, my goodness.
Cobra Bubbles.
Cobra Bubbles. Yep. Look at you. What's that blue thing's name?
Stitch, obviously.
Okay. That's good job, Sophie.
Very
wow,
good,
you pulled
Sophie.
That one off.
Yes, very good.
You can see Mike is always prepared.
I'm going to say this right now. Lilo and Stitch and every other movie made in the early 2000s is top tier.
It is a great movie. It's top tier. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of great, we have a little quote from Walt Disney, who was the greatest.
Yeah.
To captivate our varied and worldwide audience of all ages, the nature and treatment of the fairy tale, the legend, the myth have to be elementary, simple. Good and evil, the antagonists of all great drama in some guise, must be believably personalized. The moral ideals common to all humanity must be upheld. The victories must not be too easy. Strife to test valor is still and will always be the basic ingredient of the animated tale, as of all screen entertainments. Mm-hmm. Walt Disney.
Yeah.
Good versus evil.
Exactly.
Good always has to win.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Great quote, Brenda. Great quote.
He was a great man.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, I am looking at next week.
What are we doing for next week?
I was looking at something online, and I don't remember what it was exactly, but I started thinking about things that are gone from the different parks. Now, we've done retired attractions and stuff like that, I think, before. But I want to focus on Hollywood Studios and the things that are no longer in Hollywood Studios but are not forgotten. So put your brain together on it and just figure it out and come back next week and tell us what's gone but not forgotten at Hollywood Studios. How's that sound?
All right.
Very good. Vague.
I think we're going to have some duplicates.
We might very
Let's see here.
I think all of our favorites are kind of the same, but
in that same area.
Yeah.
That used to be called the something something's courtyard.
Yep. The same one. That's all of our favorite. That's not there anymore.
So that is our topic for next week. All right.
All right, then.
All right.
Okay. Well.
Well, now I'm hungry.
Yep.
Yes, so am I.
That concludes our show for this week. So we hope you all have a great week, and we will see you next week. And until then, I'm Mike. She's Sophie. That's Brenda. And he's Grogu. And we will
see you on the road.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.